COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. I urge you to listen and participate so that we can hear each other's concerns and I can give you an update. Please stay on the line and you'll be immediately connected to a live call. Thank you.
Please hold while we connect you to your Access Live event. This Access Live event is currently in progress. Please note that this call may be monitored, recorded, or rebroadcast.
Hang up mine.
But I don't think it's specific enough. And I would want to, I think we should be able to make a lot of our own decisions when we get over the pump and on the path. But we can make better decisions if we know exactly the ages of the people that are afflicted and those who have passed away. And if we know exactly what their pre-existing conditions are, then each of us, if we have pre-existing conditions, we can look at that data and determine that we would have a, that we would turn up our safety precautions maybe more greatly than someone who was younger and doesn't have any pre-existing conditions. So there's much to be learned on this. And then as far as curbside service for the grocery store, that's a pretty good and prudent way to do it. And I think that, I would be happy to see it. I walked in the grocery store a little over a week ago, but I noticed that even though there are a lot of people in there that knew me, they kept their distance. That was different. And but they were still friendly enough that we could talk along the way. We kept our distance, and I sanitized myself before I went in and when I came out, and my groceries when I got home. So we're building those practices into our household, and I hope many other people are doing the same, Mary Jane.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. This is a live teletown hall call. Congressman Steve King. If you have a question or a comment, press *3 on your keypad, and we'll put you through. And I want to give you the polling results now to the question that I asked. And I asked the question, when the order comes to open up our economy again, should it be nationwide? Only 16% of you said nationwide, and 50% said statewide, and 34% said county by county. So that's pretty interesting. It tells me that you have a significant amount of confidence in the state decisions, and that would imply the governor, not so much at the national level. I know why, because one size does not fit all in this great big country. And county by county, it's got some good traction. It's twice as popular as nationwide. So I will use that information when I talk with the governor. I think if a governor is making those decisions and with the information county by county, it may be the best scenario. So I have... this is a live teletown hall call. This is Congressman Steve King. Press *3 on your keypad if you have a question. And now I would like to go to Barbara and Logan and hear from Barbara. Good evening, Barbara.
Yes, I'm here.
You are on the line, Barbara.
Yes. I wanted to know when they're going to start using the malaria meds that the president keeps talking about.
I've watched that pick up a lot more traction just in the last 3 or 4 days. And even in New York now, where Andrew Cuomo has resisted its use and more or less ordered that medication, and today was the day that they were going to start using it in New York. So I'm hopeful that is the case. It's taken a lot of effort to get people to pay attention to this. There seems to be very, very few side effects, and that means not much of a downside. And so I'm hopeful that, we've got a really bad connection here, Barbara, but
we're
going to get this done. So
okay.
I'm going to check out. Thank you. And maybe Barbara wasn't a bad connection because I still got it. Here we go. Okay, that's clean now, unless we lost everybody. No. Hey, this is a live teletown hall call. This is Congressman Steve King. If you have a question or a comment, press *3 on your keypad. And let's see. Press *3 on your keypad, and we will put you through. Meanwhile, I want to ask a polling question before I go on to the next question here. This is Congressman Steve King. The question is this. When the economy does open back up, should it be everything all at once or incrementally in, say, for example, reverse order that it was closed? And I'm only going to give you two choices this time. When the economy opens back up, should it be all at once or it should be in incrementally in reverse order in the way that it was closed. And so that question is, if it's all at once, press 1, and if it's incrementally, press 2 on your keypad. And I will come back to that question a couple times yet before I give you the answer. But if it's all at once, then we should open the economy up. Everything all at once, everybody goes back to work and to the pool.
Your response has been registered.
Did we do it incrementally in the fashion that it was, reverse order that it was brought to us? Meanwhile, if you have a question or comment, press star 3 on your keypad. It's Congressman Steve King. It's a live teletown hall call. And now I'd like to go up to Lamar's and hear from Dennis and Lamar's. Dennis, you are on the line.
Well, I've listened to radio and TV a lot, and I think that people, before they go back to work, ought to have a certificate or something that can show their former boss that they've worked there and they're approved to go back to work. And if they had the virus, they should be built up immunity to it. Is this a possibility?
Well, it is, and in some of the states, they're talking about giving people a certificate when they've overcome and recovered, and presuming that they are immune from that, and the medicine says that is the most likely scenario.
Right.
I think we're going to go back to work, so I would favor that people being certified having recovered from the virus. That would be helpful. And then also, I mean, when you've got healthcare workers that have had the virus and recovered from it, that's the safer thing for them to be treating patients with it too. And I know there's some of the healthcare workers that have been afflicted, have recovered and gone back to work. And that's an act of patriotism, an act of service that I have great appreciation and respect for. But we can't expect that, you know, nobody's going to go to work that hasn't had it. So we're going to have to incorporate all of this into the broader picture and be prudent in how we put people back to work, and then keep an eye on the path to get to a vaccine that can take care of the rest of this. I want to make a point here, Dennis, that I haven't heard anybody talk about, but I've read quite a bit and found this a few places. There's a factor in dealing with pandemics called the R factor, and it's the rate that people are infected by someone who's positive. And in China, when this first broke, each infected person was infecting an average of not quite 4 other people. And if those 4 did the same and the next group did the same, you had a pyramid effect where it geometrically grew through society, and that's how a pandemic races through. But if you take steps that reduce that factor, that R factor that was nearly 4 in China, down to 0 and hold it at 0, then your infection would neither grow nor shrink. It would be static in numbers, although it would be different people that would have it. If you can reduce that reinfection number under 1, then you eventually shrink it out and get rid of it. So there's some factors that reduce that number, that R number. One of them would be a vaccine. And then there's others that be aggressive testing, which I think you're likely to favor, hand washing and sanitizing, contact tracing people that have had it. Going on up the line, if you ban large gatherings and you put travel restrictions on, those will help. Closing bars and restaurants makes actually a big difference. And the schools and universities, not quite as big a difference. So I'm just going up the line of a list I'm looking at here. And then it says, if you ask people to remain home except for food and urgent services, that's pretty much what the governor has done. There's a big gain to that, too. That covers most everything that we can do to get that R number down close under 1 and close to 0. But the next step would have to be close your grocery stores and your urgent services, and of course the damage to people's in their lives would be too great to take that step. So I want to encourage people to think about this in a logical way. When you wash your hands, when you self-quarantine, when you limit your travel, and you practice social distancing, all of those things that each of us do together lowers that R number to where we can get it under 1, and there'll be fewer people infected each day that way. Eventually we get rid of it, and it helps us get to the time when we can have a vaccine. So I think what you say is right. The people that have been infected and recover, we need to be happy to know who they are. And if it turns out to be me, I'm going to want to let you know. So thanks, Dennis. I appreciate you weighing in with your question here and your comment. And I'd like to go back to the polling question, which is this. when the economy does open back up, should it be everything all at once or incrementally in reverse order that it was closed? All at once, press 1. Incrementally in reverse order, press 2. And I'll come back to you one more time with that before I give you the answer and the response. Now I would like to go to, Story County and hear from Jim. Hello, Jim. You're on the line.
Yeah, thank you, Congressman. Just a couple of things. I haven't stopped working. I'm part of the essential services sector. I also work in the procurement area, so I work in the supply chain. Dealing with all these issues that we have right now, I want to make one thing clear to everybody listening, and I'm just so grateful for the Iowans' resilience to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I've grown up in this state, lived here my whole life. I'm close to 60 years old. I really appreciate my neighbors paying attention to social distancing, putting on a mask if they need to put on a mask so we don't make each other sick. I'd like to say this. This isn't a local problem. It's not a state problem. It's not even a national problem. This is a world problem. And the sooner we start thinking about it as a world problem, from the supply chain to health and all that, the better off we're going to be. And trying to do this from a political standpoint to get people to work, without listening to healthcare professionals, we're in for a recurrence of this. And this could go on for not this month, but for years. So don't do stupid stuff like trying to push everybody back into work without having appropriate testing for all. Like Dennis was saying, I don't care if it's a certificate or what it is. We need to be tested. Everybody should find out, do we have it or not have it, so we can understand that we're not in this over and over and over again, costing our country trillions and trillions of dollars because we're trying to push ourselves back into work quickly. This is what we need to be seeing, in my opinion. Your thoughts, Congressman?
Well, I say that first, we don't have that capability right now. And when we do, I'd be happy to go down that path and test everybody and certify people that, especially those that in our have developed the immunity. But when we get a sense of kind of herd immunity has been created, that herd immunity coupled with how quickly we can get to a vaccine is going to be those two components will be what get us to normal life if we ever get to. Meanwhile, I don't think this economy can sustain it. We could test everybody and only let the people go back to work if we're immune. So I think we're going to have to make some prudent decisions here along the way. And I want to get over this peak, this apex that we talked about. I want that curve flattened. I'd like to see the decisions made at the local level so they want to work every day, so you know what that is like. But we have to keep this economy going in a way that we can feed our people, take care of our people, and give life back to the flow of the economy. We need to do it prudently. I just don't think we can get to the formula you've described without having a complete collapse in our economy. And so that's one of the reasons that I want the real records on who's most at risk. And I'm hesitant to even quote some of the data that I see because I don't know if we know well enough to do that. But if a very, very high percentage of the fatalities here are people that are over 90 years old with pre-existing conditions, and I don't know that to be the case because we don't break those numbers out.
It's but younger people.
So,
18.
I know that we have.
That's who's getting it dying. So you're right. There's not a lot of data on who's really susceptible. I think we all are. And that's what scares me is we're going to force everybody. I have to go to work now. Force everybody back to work and increase the number of people getting sick, we're going to be worse off than we were before. The mark will go to zero.
Well, let me say, Jim, that if we don't have more precise data, I don't know if the data is accurate or not at this point either, but if we don't have more precise data, we can't make a good decision on this question you and I are discussing. And that's one thing. The first thing we can get is data. And the second thing that we can get is testing. And the third thing I think we can get is vaccines. And so I'm trying to do all of those things. But I just don't think that if we wait until we can test everyone, then I don't think our economy can sustain itself that long. And as the president said, we can't let the cure be worse than the disease. But I don't think we're that far apart in how we look at this. It's just
private industry is rushing. States and all these people rushing to do. I'm in private industry. We're busting our tail because the government's not fixing the problem, and we're trying to fix the problem. And I think we can wait and let it do it. You know, the Defense Production Act is good. Let's get it going. We're at war, folks. We're at war.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what kind of work you're in, Jim?
I work for a financial institution, a very large one.
Okay. Okay, and then what can government do better in your arena to accomplish this?
I think the one thing is being in procurement, you know, where we have people bidding against each other, we're bidding against each other, even in the private sector. We need these things, and it's a global issue now. Private companies are stepping up, like all Americans do. We need an ability to kind of centralize and coordinate this like the military could, because we're at war. Get the tests out to the people, control what we're trying to do with supply, PPE distribution, instead of just sitting back and waiting for crap to happen. We got to get moving on this. This is not something that any other wartime government would put up with. We'd be doing stuff that our parents did in the 40s. My parents were fought in World War II. So, you know, I know it's like, and we have people going through the Depression. We need to put people first here, not our paychecks. It's not your money or your life. It's your life.
That is a good and solid expression. I appreciate you saying that. It's not your money or your life. It's your life. And that's the thing that we need to mark on. Jim, I appreciate you weighing in, and take this all under advisement and see if we can find a better path. And sometimes putting your finger on how you move that problem is the hardest part. And so I'd like to go to a third polling question here. And that question is, are you in favor of names and addresses being released of those that have tested positive? Now, let me, I've already given a little bit of a statement on that, but I want to do a little commercial here. And by the way, if you're waiting, you can press *3 on your keypad if you have a question or a comment. But when I look at what's happening around here, I look back at about 25 years ago or a little more, I had a thing called the hospital report on the radio. And that was listened to every day by a lot of people. I know it was on in our household. And they would come on the radio and they'd say, well, Joe Schultz was injured in a farm accident last night, admitted into the emergency room, and he's in critical care in the hospital. And so-and-so, Sally and Joe had a little baby boy last night. They welcomed him into the world, and so-and-so was discharged. They would give you the report on the flow of traffic going into the hospital and the flow of traffic going out. And if there was someone who passed away in the night, they'd tell you that. That told us who to pray for, who to go visit, who to cook a casserole for, how to take care of our neighbors and our friends. And when HIPAA came along, was passed in 1995, the confidentiality rules were set in. And at that point, this country shifted pretty significantly away from open access information. We're in a place today where, you've heard me say in this conversation multiple times, we don't know enough. And the HIPAA laws really don't tie this down as tight as people think. Most of that is still the discretion at the state level, the covered entity, as it's described in HIPAA. And so if we don't know who is positive, then how do we know how to help them, pray for them, and how do we know not to visit them, for that matter? But people will say, well, there's a stigma attached with that today. There may be, but I don't know why there should be a stigma attached with it. You don't know where you get it, how you get it, but if you have it, then you need to be staying away from other people and self-quarantining. And so if we're going to address this and eradicate this virus, then if, say, in our neighborhood, we don't know who has it, we only see that maybe one person in the entire county is tested positive, and then no one knows who that is, or not supposed to know, according to the rules we're living by today. And when that person is now recovered, we don't know that either. And so I don't think that we can make very good decisions if without information. The first thing I would like to have, I'd like to have age, I'd like to have pre-existing conditions. I'd like to know whether they're male or female. And then on down the line, what town they live in, what their address is, what their name is. If we had all of that, we could make good decisions. Now, I want to know what you think of that. I've gone quite a ways down the line. Nobody's talked about that much around me anyway. So now I'm going to ask you the poll question after I've given you this commercial. And it is this. Are you
you in favor of names and addresses being released of those that have tested positive to the virus? Press 1 if the answer is yes, 2 if it's no. If you're in favor of the names and addresses being released of those tested positive, press 1 for yes, 2 for no, 3 for no opinion. And I'll come back to that question again, although...
Your response has been registered.
Shorter. In the meantime, this is Congressman Steve King, a live teletown hall meeting, and... Yeah, star 3 on your keypad will get you into the queue for the question. Meanwhile, I'd like to go to Clemming and hear from Gary. Hello, Gary, you're on the line.
Hi, thanks, Congressman, for taking my call. My question is, what is America looking at as far as, I hate to say retaliation, but sanctions against China, and how do we repatriate America, bringing everybody back over? Do we need to give, this will drive the Democrats crazy, more tax cuts to bring these people back to the United States?
Well, boy, that is a big question, Gary, and it is one that I've been addressing for some time. I started on this back in about 2005. I went over to China and went to 5 cities over there, and I began to try to convince them that they should stop stealing our intellectual property. And I came back, I wrote a bill that would have fixed the problem, but I couldn't get enough traction on it in Congress to get the bill passed. I won't take you down into the details of that. I'm also part of a task force that addresses the existential threat of China, the asymmetrical warfare that they have positioned themselves for. I went down to Mar-a-Lago for a 3-day weekend just to be immersed in that. Then came back and did a national program that was broadcast everywhere. So I've been paying a little attention to China. And as I see this unfold, I'm glad that we have the first phase of our trade agreement done with China that addresses most of our agriculture and manufacturing interests here in Iowa. So I want to sell all kinds of things to China. I want to buy a lot less from China myself. And when we see the things that we're vulnerable to, for example, pharmaceuticals into perhaps in the 90th or higher percentile of the pharmaceuticals in the U.S. originate in China. That leaves us very, very vulnerable. They can control the health of the United States of America from China. State-owned enterprises doing these things. So, and China did lie to the world about what they had over there when this coronavirus erupted. And now they've got a task force that's trying to tell the world that it's the United States' fault, not China's fault. And, you know, what did they know? When did they know it? I could go further down into a list of suspicion on how this came together. But we know that they lied to us and they kept it from the world. And if they had come out and told the truth when they knew it, we would have had an excellent chance of containing this virus within China. But they didn't. They tried to keep it a secret. And now we're afflicted here everywhere around the world. I think that this is putting such a mark on China and businesses that are U.S. businesses that are operating in China, that there will be a steady and incremental removal of those businesses from China coming back to the United States or to other, you know, or to third world countries. And I welcome that. I think that we were too vulnerable in our relationships with China. And when the China trade war began, I said then that if each side plays their cards as good as they can, then the side that comes out on top will be the decision will be this: that does the United States need cheap Chinese goods more than China needs our market? And I think it turns out they need our market more than we need their cheap goods. And so we need to do far more here in the United States as far as our manufacturing is concerned. We need to take a look at our national security and not be vulnerable to suppliers or technology from outside the United States. And we've taken some steps down that path. I've been talking about it with the Department of Defense for a long time, but this brings it home, and it gives us, that might be the silver lining in all of this, is to bring more of this manufacturing back to the U.S. and to reduce our dependency on China. If you have any follow-up comments on that, I'd like to hear them, Gary.
Well, excuse me. I feel that we need to repatriate America, just like you were talking about. And, you know, everybody gets their shorts in a bunch when you talk about more tax cuts and things like that. I went back and I started looking. And unfortunately, it was with George Bush that we started shipping everything over. and be safe. That's all I got to say, and thank you, Congressman King, for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you, Gary. I appreciate you weighing in on that. I agree with all of it. I'd like to go back to this this polling question, and this will be the last time I ask this polling question, and I said I'd do without the commercial. Are you in favor of names and addresses being released of those that have tested positive for the virus? And, you know, I'm asserting that we can better make our own decisions if we know those answers. And people on the other side of that argument will say, but it violates people's privacy. I would say our constitutional rights have been suspended for freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, and others. At this point, I'm not making an issue of that because it's about the safety and security of the American people. So if constitutional rights can be suspended, so could privacy if it makes us safer. That's the question. If you believe that answer should be yes, release the names and addresses of those that are positive. Press 1. If you say no, we should not release names and addresses, press 2. And if you have no opinion, press 3. And so I will give you the answers to that in a little bit. The score is rolling up here as we speak. And now, as Congressman Steve King, a live telephone hall call, press star 3 on your keypad to ask a question. And now I'd like to go to Litterdale and hear from Mary. Hello, Mary, you're on the line.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I am in my 80s, and I'm housebound. I have asthma, and I'm on oxygen at night. And my concern is I had 6 in service. One has retired and one got out after 15 years. They have all seen war between Iraq and Afghanistan, except one, and he traces computer hackers, so he won't see any battle.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a son that's a command master chief. He has top security clearance. That's why I cannot use a last name. He just got off of the Bainbridge last month, was working on the dock, got exposed to the virus, and is all I can have is telephone contact with him. And it is a worry. How are they taking care of our servicemen and women? Because I pray for them all. This country needs to be doing a lot of praying right now. And we just need some security about our children that are, and our grandchildren, because some of these are grandchildren too. To know how they're being taken care of. Because we can't go see.
You know, Mary, first of all, you've raised 6 children in the service. That's extraordinary. I mean, your
contribution
to
children and grandchildren. They're in the service.
That's just tremendous. That's doing far more than your fair share. And
my husband was in the Marine Corps.
So you two raised them all right, didn't you?
Well, I raised them with the Bible, the Word of God. That's the way they should be raising their children today.
You're right, and you're so right when you say we need to do a lot of praying right now. This is the time, that's when we really need to do a lot of praying. I wish I had a better answer for you on how we're dealing with this within the military, because the information just hasn't come out of there to me either. And I see the news stories about, you know, some of the ships that
and
have
positive scary.
Cases on them. They are scary. And when you hear Navy personnel say so, then that means they sincerely are very concerned. And if they're quarantined on the ship and there are groups of, you know, significant numbers of the sailors that are on there are positive, I don't know how they're segregating people, how they are keeping them separated. I don't know what those standards are, and the military said we're not going to go public with that. So the only way I can find out is to, you know, go push for a classified discussion, and those classified discussions generally take place face-to-face, and, you know, we're not in Washington right now. It's just hard to get into that information. But what I can do is, when I'm having those conversations, I can ask into this. We're going to have a conference call tomorrow, and I can see if I can get in that queue to ask the question. I'm not sure who will be online with us, but if it's military, that'll be my chance to ask, Mary.
Well, we just kind of wonder how things are going with our kids and our grandkids.
You
and I think we have a right to wonder.
You have a right. And it's, you know, hopefully they can send you some kind of signals as to how they're doing. I know some of that's classified, but I just remember when my dad was in the South Pacific for 2.5 years and nobody was supposed to know where he was. But he sent a letter home that said to his family he's looking forward to coming home so he could watch the ducks waddle along the canal. And the people that were reading that were censoring the letters, didn't pick up that he was telling his family that he was on Guadalcanal. But, you know, it wasn't the best place to be in the South Pacific, but he told them anyway. And so I hope that you're getting some kind of message from your family, and they're letting you know that they're okay. And, you know, they're in the Lord's hands, too. So encourage you to continue your prayers, Mary.
We all are. I keep my sanity by... I'm making quilt tops for Worldwide Relief quilts.
You're still doing your part. That's terrific. I go up every year.
The Lord gave me the ability to make them, and He provides the material, so I should use it.
That's right. You
I wish this country get more back with the Lord.
Me too. And every year I go up to Betty Nielsen's place in. And we honor those that she presents the personalized quilts to. And that's been I never say no at a time like that. So, Mary, thanks for weighing in from Lauderdale. I appreciate it. Thanks, folks, for all you're doing for our country. More than your fair share, for sure. And now I'd like to go to Estherville and hear from Morris in Estherville. Morris, you're on the line.
Thank you for taking the call. Just want to say thank you for your service, and these town halls are really keeping us well informed.
Thanks, Morris.
My question, is there any way to make sure that people, small business, and even large business receive the aid money needed before any of the port items are funded?
That all got shoveled out all at once. So, no, I don't know that there's a very effective way to do that. We worked that thing as hard as we could to keep the pork out of it, and you know that there was an amount that snuck in that last week.
Well, yeah.
To give you an example, Morris,
I would still hope there were some ways that everybody else is taken care of. If there's any money left, send them their check.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to do that myself, but it was all approved all in one signature, and it's distributed in just that way without being tied to anything else. I will say that the negotiations that we had going on from the House side of this and with the senators had the money that was going to the Kennedy Center. Nancy Pelosi wanted $25 million. We got her down to $1 million, and so that looked like a pretty good victory. And then she cooked up her own bill on a Sunday and threw the wrench into the gears and demanded more money for the Kennedy Center, for public broadcasting, both television and radio, and for sanctuary cities. And she ended up stacking up at least $1.1 billion that we just couldn't get the votes in the House to pass the bill until those demands were met. So there's more pork in there than that, but that was that I identified easily. And it's troubling to see $1.1 billion to go to something other than addressing this rescue package. But on the other hand, there were $2,000 went that were focused on the problem for every $1,000 that went to the pork that was easily identified. So I wasn't happy about it, but it was 1/2,000th of the overall program that at least was easily identified for us.
Well, it's still wrong.
You're right. It is still wrong. And this bill is huge. It's a mountain. We all had to sit down and write the check to pay for it today. It'd be about $6,750 for everybody in America.
Yep.
And that's a pretty good sized check.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks for weighing in, Morris. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the good counsel.
Yep.
Now I'd like to go to the polling results. This is pretty interesting. To the question of, are you in favor of names and addresses being released of those that have tested positive to the virus? 50% of you said yes, 40% of you said no, and the rest of you have done the math. That leaves 10% that had no opinion. And this is interesting to me because last week I asked the same question, and it was 45% said no, 43% said yes, compared to 50% tonight, and 43% said yes, and 45% said no, and whatever the balance was on the difference of that, 11% or so. So that was tonight. It's 50% say yes, release the information, 40% say no. It's still a split decision, and there's good reasons on both sides for that argument. And now I'd like to ask a fourth polling question, and that polling question is this: how worried are you that you or someone in your family will be exposed to the virus? Press 1 if you're very worried, press 2 if you're somewhat worried, press 3 if you're not worried. How worried are you that you or someone in your family will be exposed to the virus? Press 1 if you're very worried, 2 if you're somewhat worried, 3 if you're not worried. I'll get you the answers to that in a little bit as well.
Your response has been registered.
Paulina here from Mark and Paulina. Hello, Mark. You're on the line.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I was wondering, I've got a small trucking company here in Northwest Iowa, and some of my drivers, the question I got is, who's protecting the driver? I mean, they come in, they hand me their paperwork, it's been all over. I'm being told by a lot of them that companies aren't allowing them in to use their restrooms and stuff, you know, because coronavirus, no public restrooms and shippers and stuff. But, I mean, these guys are, we got a real good friend right from Spencer. He just delivered a bunch of deals out to New York City, you know what I mean? Is there no testing? So my drivers come in and they just left Chicago and they left here and went there, and then they come into our office. You know, I got a daughter that's got epilepsy. How do you, I mean, they're not testing any of the drivers. I mean, I think that maybe, because we do the traveling, you know. Myself, I was in Washington a month ago. I've been to Chicago last week, all over the place, you know, and I got a little bit of a sniffle, so I go into the doctors, you know, and, oh, you're okay. Give me an antibiotic, you know. But I was real worried that I might have contracted something. And my drivers come in, they got to give me their paperwork, and their trucks are sitting here, and what's the protection to the people that are on the test to go out and travel? I mean, how are they?
Well, Mark, here's what I'm learning about the testing that's been taking place is that we called all the hospitals in the 4th Congressional District in all 39 counties, and the answer that we got back from them on the testing standards that they're all following the Center for Disease Control standards or the Iowa Department of Public Health, which I believe are the same. And I don't have that criteria for testing in front of me, but it generally follows the path of do you have symptoms? Have you had them for a bit of a length of time? And do those symptoms include a fever, a cough, especially deep chest cough, heavy fatigue, those things? And if they suspect that you could be a carrier, then they test you. But if not, they're not testing. And that's because we have a shortage of tests right now, and we're trying to get that ramped up to where we have a surplus. And when that happens, then we can do the serial testing where we're testing across the broader population, in which case I would think that your drivers would be some of the most welcome people to have tested because they are traveling across the country. Right now, I don't think we've got the resources to do this effectively, and that's why it's not happening. But I would tell you that if I've got drivers coming into my operation and they need to use the restroom, we would just make sure that we kept things clean in the restroom when they came in, and we'd clean them up when they left and ask them to follow the same hygiene practices that are recommended by the Center for Disease Control. That's the best way to deal with it. And I can't imagine being having trucks rolling into my operation and telling them that they can't use my bathroom. I was
even states are shutting down rest areas, different states, not in Iowa maybe, but in Illinois and Missouri, the rest areas were not open. So when you know, and I mean, we can't just pull our truck into a Casey's, you know, store. So, I mean, we're sort of limited where we can go. And then also, you know, just being able to clean up and stuff, you know, and clean your, wash your hands, you know, and stuff, you know. I mean, I just noticed that there's a lot of this blue tape, you know, stand back. You're not allowed in our building. Come out. We put our paper, they got a table sitting out there. You walk up, you put your paperwork in the table, and then they'll come out. And I'm just like, well, if this is the case, I mean, these drivers are running all over the damn place from state line to state line. Shouldn't there be almost a DOT mandatory testing on the amount of states that I've been to and the amount of places that I've been, you know, in the last, and my drivers have been to in the last month? I mean, when you're sending respirators into the CDC over in New York and you're dropping them off and they're coming in with suits on and loading them up in vans and taking them to the hospital, and you're right there, you know, I mean, these people just come, and I mean, one of my drivers is pretty worried about that, you know. I mean, he's like, well, they're all wearing suits, and they're delivering them to the places, and we're doing nothing here.
Yeah, and you're not talking about business suits. You're talking about what I would call Ebola suits, aren't you, Mark?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to come and pull the respirators off the truck.
Mm-hmm. And, I don't know what to say about how to address that. I'm just convinced that at this point they don't think they have enough tests to do that testing, and but I would think that the sanitation on the ends of your runs and even the restrooms along on the interstates in Illinois, they've shut down the restrooms. That would seem to me to be counterproductive. Trucks have to run through Illinois, and you would want to have them open. And if you and your drivers will take the risk and haul materials across this country, which we must have, then you would think that the folks that take care of those restrooms could accommodate the needs along the way and have some sanitation facilities on their end, on each end of this. So I think we'll get there, but we don't have enough tests to test all the drivers right now, but that's one of the places where we need to direct those resources as soon as we emerge with enough testing equipment to get the job done, Mark. So, boy, thanks for telling me this. It's a part of the life that I was not aware of until you spoke up tonight.
Yeah, well, you've got people that are, you know, that their job is traveling, and then you got, that is a necessity right now to be out there. Then people need to be, like our servicemen, they need to have these tests available. Now, we've got people that are sitting at home. And, you know, I mean, they're not near the risk as the guy out there on the front line, you know. And basically, I mean, New York needs food right now. We need to be able to go in there. But then they also need to make sure they're not bringing it back here to Iowa when they come back. So
that's right. Maybe you can work a deal with them. They will bring you food, but you test my drivers with your test that you have in New York. I think they're going to end up with one of the places that have the surplus of tests eventually. They've been shipping so much material out there, and then essentially it looks like it's going to start slowing down in New York. So I hope something like that can happen, Mark. I don't have a very good answer for you. I do now understand the situation that you're dealing with. I had no idea they were shutting down rest areas and restrooms in transit across this country, and I sure didn't think they treated the drivers like that on either end. So I've got a page full of notes on what you've had to say, and I appreciate you weighing in on it. Thanks for keeping the wheels rolling. We need that in this country.
Yeah,
we can't go without.
You can go on the internet and look it up. Rest areas, you know, when they're closed or open, and get exact what states are closing them. They say they can't keep them clean. They don't have the manpower to clean them and keep them safe.
Well, that can be solved. There's so many people unemployed right now. I would think you could get those folks recruited. A lot of that's under contract too. So if it's tied up under contract, it's a different kind of a negotiation than if you say if it's run by the state. So thanks a lot, Mark. Thanks for weighing in. I appreciate you. And now I'd like to ask this polling question one more time. And the polling question is, how worried are you that you or someone in your family will be exposed to the virus? Press 1 if you're very worried, press 2 if you're somewhat worried, or press 3 if you're not very concerned. And then we'll watch those numbers rack up here. And while that goes on, I'm going to get you the answer to this polling question. In fact, why don't you just tell me what it is, Jeff, because we're going to run out of time on the last question. Okay, here's the answer. 35% of you said you're very worried, 48% said you're somewhat worried, and 16% said not worried or not worried at all. So if you add those two together, there's a significant concern there. 84% say that you're concerned. And so I appreciate all of the opinions and the judgments that are here tonight and people being on the line. And I'd like to now go to the last call before we get clocked out here. And that would be going to Marilyn in Fort Dodge. Hello, Marilyn, you are on the line. You're the last shot at this, so
okay.
Really look for you.
Well, just from my reading in the papers, it looks like there's more virus in the eastern part of Iowa and not so much in the western. Is that what the papers are saying?
That is true, and the Iowa Department of Public Health has a website that one can go to that you can see on the map, county by county, the numbers of positive cases that are there, and you can also see the deaths that have taken place. Most of it has taken place in eastern Iowa. And by the way, Marilyn, before I forget to mention this, I had a significant frustration that I had so many departments of the government that were dealing with this. I was closing in and out of websites relentlessly, trying to put it all together. So finally, about a week ago, I started the progress of setting up my website so we had one-stop shopping for the coronavirus. And so when you go to stevekang.house.gov, or just type in Steve King and Google will pop me up first on that, and you can click on my website. There's a big icon that drops down in the front of the page. It's the red and white coronavirus that most of us have seen by now. And around it are each of the departments of government. When you click on that, you can go to small business or the IRS or USDA, whatever it is that you might choose, so, or the state of Iowa. And you can click on the Iowa tab that's around that circle of the virus, and it'll take you to the Department of Public Health and the issues of Iowa. So I wanted to get that little commercial in, too, that this one-stop shopping at my website now, and I'm certainly willing to share that technology with anybody that wants to use it. I think that that's an easy way for us to be able to sort out where this is all going. So I better...
that was Steve King of Iowa?
Just Steve King, and then Steve King, all one word even. You can go stevekang.house.gov, G-O-V.
Okay.
And when that website pops up, you'll see that big, the big coronavirus icon. It'll just cover.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and you can go in there. You can find that map on the Iowa tab. You'll find it. And you're right. There's far more in the eastern Iowa than western. And the reason that the governor didn't shut the whole state down was because of the difference. There was a block of six counties where I live where there wasn't a single positive up until earlier today. And then there was one that showed up in one of those counties. So I want to keep track of where the infections have been reported, where they have been recovered from, and so that we can see the kind of progress we're making in getting to the other side of this too, Marilyn.
I
sure appreciate you being on the line. I'm watching my clock tick down. So I thanks again, Marilyn. Thanks for weighing in. This is Congressman Steve King. We're at the last seconds of this call. You can go to my website, stevekang.house.gov, and find that coronavirus icon. You can click on that and you go to any department in the federal government or into the state of Iowa. I hope that's helpful. You've all been very helpful to me. I've learned a lot from your comments and from the polling questions that we asked. And we're likely to be doing this again maybe later on this week yet. And we'll try to call random people across the state. So thanks very much for being on the line. and let's stick with this all together. We are, maybe we're alone, each in our own homes, but we're together on this mission, and I appreciate you all. Thank you all, and God bless you, and good night.